Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fible.com.
I knew that was coming, too. I knew it was coming.
And you might as well put John Stamos and Bob Saget in there and do a complete full house entrance right there.
I was tempted. You guys know who we are. I'm Mitchell Perola. Jeremy Lambert's here. Sean Ross Sapp is here. More importantly, our guest right now is the one and only Steve Macklin. A year ago, yesterday, Jeremy and I hosted Steve Macklin for a chat on our show in the weeds over on Fightful Overbooked when you had just won the Impact World Heavyweight Championship. So it's really fun to sit down and do this 1 year later and have a little catch up. Steve Macklin, how are you doing?
I'm good. Before we got on here, we're talking about grass clippings and doing yard work. So I just got done here in the gym, just rehabbing on myself a little bit and getting back in the swing of things and getting ready for Under Siege.
Now we can bury Joel Pearl in your yard. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bury Joel Pearl. And I guess we have some news to talk about. So let's get into it. Impact or TNA Rebellion this past Saturday came out. You said, got the new contract. The only thing I want is an opponent. You got an opponent, but we never saw you sign the contract. So have you signed the contract?
I have. As of now, I am currently re-signed with TNA. So that is the big news coming out of that. At Rebellion, we've been going back and forth for months for a list of demands, and it's been a long time coming. I was trying to work out, even when Scott D'Amore was there about a year ago, we were trying to work out new plans and trying to extend me no longer here with Impact or TNA Impact at that time. Now with the rebrand and everything, I just felt that with signing back with TNA and the creative freedom that I do have and a lot of unfinished business that I do have within the company, especially a lot of opponents coming in now that I can work with or work against at some point, we'll see. But I'm very much looking forward to the future here with TNA.
Did you physically crawl to the back after losing your match at TNA Rebellion and like
in the gorilla and then sign it?
I did the old Brock Lesnar and threw the thing right at freaking the manager's face and right in gorilla. So that was kind of my wow. Thank you.
So who is the person that you sort of talk to about that type of thing now that Scott is out of the fold and there's sort of a newish regime at the top?
With Ariel and Anthony, both pretty much ebb and flow. Just they're behind the scenes of creative. And then we have our talent relations with Tommy Dreamer and Gail Kim. But mostly my conversations came down with Ariel, and I think we're both on the same page of where I want to get back to and what the future of TNA looks like. And that included me. And I wanted to make this my home, and it is my home for the foreseeable future. And I'm not telling you guys how long, because I know you guys want to know that. That's later down the line. We can work to that.
Ross told you not to, didn't he?
No, I told Ross that I wasn't going. You don't need to know everything. That's the best part about wrestling is kayfabe is still alive in certain ways.
And that's fair. If you're not going to tell us how long the contract is, how about some of those all demands were met? Can you give us a little insight as to what some of those demands may have been?
Well, I got my match at Rebellion. I got a nice shiner to go with it. So there you go. Just obviously more money, more creative freedom that I do have, which I've been enjoying, and being able to just speak my mind more. And I think it's come to that too. And I think I've shown TNA, even management for my time being there from the moment I stepped through 3 years ago till now, that I can work with anyone. Doesn't matter the style, doesn't matter whether they've been the top of the game or they're just starting out fresh. I can work through anything and I can work with everyone. And that's the one thing that I take a lot on my shoulders is being able to carry the name of TNA and hopefully in the foreseeable future.
You faced a returning Mike Santana at TNA Rebellion. I want to ask about the match, but I also want to read you these comments that Mike Santana said about you. He was asked who in TNA you look like stand out. And he said, I got to work with Macklin. He's on another level. This dude is totally locked in. I love his work. Even though he's a former champion, I feel like he's just getting started. I look forward to working with him more and seeing his growth. So what was the match with Santana like? And then any response to the comments?
Surprise to me, just because I know I demanded a match and I thought it would have been somebody from the back that I've known before. Obviously, fresh new matchup there at Rebellion. And it's good to get fresh faces, and especially an old face to rehash. Here he is on his own singles run. We're kind of very similar in many ways, where we both kind of dealt with a bunch of bullshit in our life and overcome it, whether it's out of our control or in our control, and we fixed it. And then now here he is coming to show the world who he is. And he did it. He shut me right in my, he shut me right up. Not the outcome I wanted from it, but props to him for having the balls to come out there and to feel that. And it was a cool moment to even just be a part of on my end, just because I've been in those shoes, and to come out to a new audience that, even though they knew who he was previously, it's still a new audience. You still have those thoughts in your head of like, do they remember who I am? Are they going to care? Are they going to, you're going to get those kind of feelings. And I think even watching him fall off the one balcony part where he was trying to get up to the crowd kind of popped me in the middle of the ring to watch. But it was cool to just see him firing up and feeling it and just enjoying it.
Back to the contract. Did you technically hit a free agency period? Because I know that your deal was coming up relatively soon. However, I also know, in speaking like with Moose, for example, a lot of times they want to get you renewed before you even have the ability to talk elsewhere. And that's just something as a company that they want to do, because realistically, they don't want Steve Maclin leveraging WWE or AEW against TNA wrestling.
Yeah, no, my deal was actually up May 31st. And now okay. My new deal is up. I'm not telling you. you'll fish for that all the time now. But no, my deal was going to be up May 31st. And not like it's contract tampering, but there have been discussions elsewhere. And then that's the thing. You put out your feelers, you have your conversations, because I've known other places and you want to know what fits best for you and just seeing the landscape. And like I said, I have a lot of unfinished business in TNA and there's a lot more work for me to do. So I think my decision was made very easily, especially with going back a year from even today. And when this deal got done, was I was trying to re-sign then for longer and for longer time. But getting back to that world title right now and seeing Moose and Nemeth go out there at Rebellion and then even Matt Hardy being back, it's just, I think that everybody had this little downside of TNA, but it's never gone. That fire that's been there since the beginning of this new rebrand in January from Hard to Kill, it's still there. And I know the internet likes to speak their mind and say their things, but the internet's faker than anything in this world. So.
Well, you brought up Nick Nemeth. So back in January, you and I had a chance to sit down in Las Vegas, you know, in a hotel room, and nobody beat each other up, thankfully. But you kind of told me about Nick Nemeth coming in, that it was all about acclimating to TNA and the sandbox, as you put it. You two have had a match since then. How have you felt about his progression and your match at TNA Sacrifice?
Awesome. That's one of my favorite matches that I've had since being in TNA. And I just thought me and Nemeth went out there, and to steal his catchphrase of stealing the show, I think we did that, especially opening it. And I know the feed kind of cut out a little bit in between, but if you get a chance to go back on the TNA Plus app, cheap plug, go back and watch that, because that's one of my favorite matches. And just to go out there with one of the absolute best that is in the world, that is Nick Nemeth. And he really is living up to the name of Nick Nemeth. He's all over the world now with New Japan, now at Triple Mania. With TNA, it's awesome to see him just enjoying the time and enjoying building the name behind him, because I know what it's like. You got to go out and build a fresh new name. And I did that with Steve Maclin. I'm going to do that here in the foreseeable future with TNA. When you look at the marquee of TNA, you're going to see my face. You're going to see my name.
I think you've been one of the leaders in TNA, and there's been, you know, the changeover obviously earlier this year with Tia Moore, Motor City Machine Guns leaving. Like, are you thrusting more into a leadership role kind of with that changeover and then now staying with TNA for 2 years, four years?
If you're saying that you're a leader, you're not a leader. I fully believe in leading by example. I show up to work on time. I do my job to my fullest abilities, and I try to show out, whether I'm stealing the show in the opener, the mid card, or the main event. It doesn't matter where I'm at. No, I know eyes are on my match, and people want to talk about me and my opponent. And that's what happened after Rebellion with Santana coming back. People talked about us in that moment. He's even talking about me. Yeah, I lost, but you're still talking about me. I want to lead by example, and I'm going to do what I can to just steal the show whenever I am on the card, but with respect to where I am on the card as well.
In TNA, we have seen you become exactly what you knew that you could be, but there were a whole lot of people that, based on the NXT and WWE run, they didn't know what you were capable of for any number of reasons, no fault of your own, obviously. How important was that, and having been able to showcase that within TNA to you being like, yeah, I think I want to stay here? Because you mentioned that you wanted to re-up quite a while back. was that like an affirmation when they knew to give you the ball? Like, yeah, this is probably the place I should be.
I think I knew from very early on when we just got fans back, and I was able to kind of feel that, I don't know, creative, like I had that creative like passion again from before the fans with doing my vignettes. And when I got to TNA and then doing a couple get over matches here and there when I debuted without fans. And then once fans came in, I think that's where I just kind of clicked a little bit more, just because without fans, like there's nothing to feed off of. There's nothing to drive off of, whether it's hate, it's love, it's anything that you get from the fan base. And that's kind of what just brought me into it. And then it's also the locker room. The locker room that we have at TNA is amazing. And I know everybody says, oh, we have the best locker room in the world, no matter where you go. And I haven't been in a bad locker room, but the TNA locker room really feels like family. Everybody does strive to be the best and to push everybody to be the best. If you're having a problem, people talk to you. Like everybody kind of knows. But for where I knew, just because of some of the rivalries that I can have, and it just felt comfortable. Even me and Josh Alexander, I know we want to get back to that at some point. And I think that's a lot of the unfinished business that I have in my own head, is getting back to a match with him and overcoming the longest reigning TNA world champion in history. Because we kind of got robbed of that due to injury, and then injury on my end. And then we came back and we got to a match, but not the way I wanted to get to it. So we're going to see in the future here just a lot of the creative freedom that I have in my head that I want to get out, that hopefully gets to from paper to pen and put on television. So that's kind of where we're at. And to answer your question, hopefully I did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about working with younger talent. Let's talk about working with the Rascals, Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz. I spent a lot of time on our TNA post show talking about whether or not you were invited up to the treehouse.
Hierarchy.
Were you ever, yes, the hierarchy. Were you ever brought to the treehouse? I saw the smiles on your face. Come on.
Maybe we kind of visited the treehouse here and there. That is what the question. Yeah.
What goes on in the treehouse, Steve?
Stuff like this. We sit around, we chat, we shoot the shit.
Hazy in here, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a little warm sometimes.
Talk a lot about yard work. Talk a lot about weeds.
My 90s entrance of sitcom here.
They get in the weeds in the tree house.
But no, it was a lot of fun hanging out with the Rascals. And we had a lot of ideas that we threw, and we knew it was just like a pit stop, and then we had to get somewhere else. Did I have a lot of creative ideas and stupidity that I wanted to go with? Yes. Did I have just my wrestling brain going, but it would have been very hokey? Yes, but who cares? That would have been fun. But you know, maybe somewhere down the road again, we can get to that.
Oh, see, I want to hear these ideas now.
No. It stays in here, because then someone else will steal it.
Fair. Everyone's always looking for something. Go ahead, Sean.
You've also, I mean, you since losing the Revolver title, which is one of the hottest indie companies on the planet, if not the hottest right now, you've been on a win streak there. I mean, what Sammy has done with Revolver has become special. Like, I talked to independent talent, ring announcers, and they're like, that's a goal of theirs to work that, and you're a mainstay there. How has it felt to be a part of sort of the development of that as well? Because I mean, he really puts the work in. He promotes it all himself. He does match graphics, all that, and he knows what talent specifically gets over for that audience, and you're a big part of that.
Sammy knows his audience, and that's what that Revolver crowd is, whether it's in Texas, Iowa, or Dayton, or wherever we show up. Even we're just in Philly with House of Glory as well, and it's that super show, especially Mania weekend. It was just a lot of fun, and you have a lot of names that are on there and people that want to work there. And that's the good thing, is like the indies are flourishing that way now, where you have these shows that get more buzz and more eyes on. And that's where, again, I just go out there and I try to do my best and try to do something different that a lot of people aren't doing on the cards. Granted, my first introduction to Glass happened about a month ago, which threw me off a little bit. Listen, I love mayhem and chaos, but a lot of Glass, I was kind of pissed. If you kind of go back and see some of the footage, you see me sitting on a flat chair on the outside of the ground selling, just so I wasn't laying on top of the broken glass, because it's not a lot of fun, especially when you're picking it out of your butt or your back, your hamstrings or your back.
Whoa.
You don't have help with that? You have to do that all yourself?
Yeah, I don't want anybody touch my butt other than my wife.
I don't know if she offered to help or anybody else back there.
No, like, she was very annoyed because I caught a door right to the forehead.
Where,
I don't know if you've seen that clip.
Where was this at? Was this in Philly?
No, that one was in Iowa.
That was the elimination games. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was gonna say she was in Philly.
Yeah, she was in Philly.
I saw
her. She was behind the scenes watching me in the street fight. And of course, Sammy came as soon as I came back through the door and the curtain. Sammy was like, am I gonna have a lawsuit on hand with that car in the middle of the street? I was like, I don't know. Shouldn't have been there. But no, Sammy's been killing it with the way he promotes Revolver. And if you ever get a chance to go to a Revolver show in Dayton or Iowa or wherever we do go, and sometimes in Texas, it's the best independent show that's out there, and if not one of the best. And that's just goes to show for the roster that he brings together. And a lot of the times it's very much a TNA roster. So it's kind of fun. And it's a lot more fun too, as well, working with a lot of the younger talent that are on the independent, that on the independents that you get to work with. And I get to learn a little bit more from, and I learn something every time I go out there. And that's the fun part about it.
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
You recently met Bret Hart in Calgary. Was he able to impart any wisdom on you, or at least talk to you about your match with Chris Masters?
What a cool moment, man. Like, just because it was weird. I remember sending a picture to my mom. Oh, I sent it to D first, then my mom. And my mom just goes, holy shit, that's awesome. I was like, Mom, we just sat there. We took a shot of tequila, drank beer, and talked wrestling. And it was just one of the coolest things for me because she knows that I grew up loving him. And he was my guy. And then, of course, Austin came along. And then I had the bidding war for who is my number one guy. But it was really cool to just sit and shoot the shit. And for him to just put high praise to me, which is cool. I'm not going to share with you that. I'll just keep that to myself. But it was really cool to just have that moment in my life. And it's cool to just, I don't know, do the Horowitz of patting yourself on the back. And it was a cool moment. It was a really cool moment.
Did he say you're better than Goldberg?
No, but I did jokingly want to bring up a Goldberg story. Didn't. He was in a good mood that night. So I don't want to hinder the bar at Hitman's bar.
You mentioned talent that you've been around on the indies that you've learned a lot from. That being said, how was it working a show with me?
Well, you didn't leave me alone the entire show because you kept asking me contract questions.
I believe I did ask you. I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, I did. 13 matches at the Monster Factory Mania weekend. Great. Thanks, Danny.
with a call time 3 hours before Danny showed up.
Standing cage, you know. No, it's been
love him.
That was a fun show. I enjoyed working Goldie as well. He's another one of those young talents that's out there. He's got to get just more of that confidence and get out there. And I told him, just get out of here and go flourish elsewhere and just work where you can and just try to work with the best that you can and work with people that are better than you, whether you believe it or not, because that's how you learn. And even when somebody's like a lot younger like him and you got to bring them up a little bit, like that helps me learn even more. And it teaches me those just works on the fundamentals and how to simplify things, especially on independent crowds. People are paying a ticket to just see a show. They're not there to watch GIF wrestling. They're not there to watch a WrestleMania main event. Sometimes they are, but a lot of those times you got to be there to entertain that crowd, and then just stuff happens organically. And that's where you can find things in yourself and then on others, and you can play. That's all it really is play.
Yeah.
I only have a game left. So if we're ready to go there, we can go home. Are we ready?
What do you have left?
We play a game on the show that we normally run when you would be here. It's called Partner Promo or Punch in the Face. I give you three.
Okay, like fuck, marry, kill. But
yeah, that's what everyone says. But we're family friendly product, or so I've been told. So I gave.
So he dropped that F bomb just now. How about that one?
19 minute film. I give you three names. You're going to pick which one you want to promo with in the ring, which one you want to punch in the face in a singles match, and which one you want to partner with in a tag team match. You ready?
Go.
We'll go with Moose, Josh Alexander, Frankie Kazarian, all TNA friends abound. Partner promo, punch in the face.
Punch Moose in the face, promo with Frankie, partner with Josh.
Everyone wants to punch Moose in the face.
Yeah.
He's the champion.
How could you not want to? Look at him.
I get it. Listen, I'm just saying. Even Jade wanted to punch him in the face.
He's got his Wheel of Fortune robe he comes out with.
Not the Wheel of Fortune robe.
Have you not noticed that? It looks like Wheel of Fortune.
When it does.
Thank you. Every time he comes out and everybody's saying Moose, I say douche. So hopefully that catches on when the fans start
that
yelling.
That will catch douche. On. That will catch on.
I've seen people do that at shows, so I can tell you it's caught on before.
Between his theme song and then Motor City, when they would come out, Motor City Machine, when they say motor, I would say boners.
And that's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah. Who needs Dale Oliver anymore? Who needs anybody like that creating theme songs for TNA?
Boner City.
Why is that where you're? Why is that where your mind goes to Boner City?
I'm a stupid adult. I grew up on Eminem, South Park, Limp Bizkit, and
I mean
every other thing in the world, and Family Guy. I have just a head.
Steve, have you listened to the new Taylor Swift album?
My wife has made me, yes, so far.
Yeah, yes. Let's go, like, Diana. Right. Do you have a favorite song?
No, I technically it's on, I just don't listen.
Oh, we got to get Diana back on to ask to talk about Taylor Swift.
Well, she told me it's 31 songs.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's not an album, that's two albums.
It's a double album. She
that's
released
like the new
first
version
half.
Of Pink Floyd The Wall, but Taylor Swift version.
Next time you come on, I need your favorite Taylor Swift song from the album. You got to really listen to it. I'm going to message Jan and be like, make him listen to it.
I would say, if anything, right now, my favorite T Swift song would be It's Me. Hi, I'm the Problem. Yeah, the Problem song. Just because we look at our dogs and we sing that song for them all the time. Especially Alan.
Do you give your dogs personalities? Do they have traits?
They have their own person.
I have a cat named Oliver, by the way. Great, great job naming your dog. I respect that one.
I give that all a D, so that one's on D.
What band do you think is completely overrated while we're on the subject of
the Beatles?
Music? Okay.
Let's go. Yes, thank you.
I'm with you here.
Beatles are overrated.
Yep. No, sorry, guys. Disagree.
I think Paul McCartney in general is overrated. In fact, dare I say he wrote one of the worst Christmas songs ever.
I'm a Jew.
The Christmas time? That's such a lazy ass song. Oh my God. It sounds like it belongs in a fucking JCPenney commercial.
There's an F-bomb.
Guess what? You know what? It is, because you get a lot of money off of that simplistic garbage.
Listen, Joel, me and you could start a band right now where we just go, whoa, and we'd be in every commercial ever.
That's the
every commercial
theme.
Ever.
We talked about this. That's the Gallus theme.
While Steve goes, Boner City in the background.
Now, with my name in the weeds and that whole video package too, while it's Boner City.
I'll upload it just for you. You can use it for
him. I can't wait for the headline of this, not even saying that I re-signed my contract.
Yeah.
But it's just Steve Macklin talks about Boner City.
Oh, it is.
Oh, I'm gonna write
Steve
that.
Steve Macklin, semicolon, end quotes, Boner City.
Yeah.
That's the article.
I'm gonna write it. It'll be out tomorrow. That's the article.
That's happening.
It should be somebody's speaker on the website. A whole Steve Macklin expose, but it's called Steve Macklin Boner City.
The Boner City machine gun.
Steve, how do you feel about apples? Do you feel that when you eat an apple, you are essentially eating tree sperm? Because that's what Brian Danielson claims. Not that you specifically are, but people in general.
Not a
He says most fruits are semen.
Wouldn't tree sap be more of a semen than an actual?
I feel like it's a personal attack on me. You're bringing my name into this.
Not everything's
a no.
Yeah, not about you,
it
Sean.
Should be. But he says real fruits are semen because they contain the seed inside of them. In theory, that has to be planted into the ground for another tree to grow.
Okay. Well, he could be onto something. He is a smart man. Very intelligent.
Is he cosmically impotent? Do you know? Can he blow up the moon? Can you blow up the moon? Are you cosmically impotent?
No, I'm not Pinky in the Brain.
Yeah. Great show. Great show.
Phenomenal show.
I don't know what we accomplished here today, but
well, we got me a 90s sitcom entrance. I re-signed with TNA. I talked about Boner City. We talked about Tree Semen. I dropped a couple fucking F-bombs. What else?
Taylor Swift talk.
Douche.
Taylor always Swift. Good.
Douche.
Beatles are overrated.
I mean, listen, there is an article coming tomorrow that is Steve Macklin on Brian Danielson talking about Tree Semen. He's on to something.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's how, yeah. With the Brian Danielson picture.
Can you you make that same face and just send us a
you
photo?
Do that one for us? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Oh, we'll send you the photo and you can recreate it.
You not have the here photo?
That's my face.
There we go. Now we need him to make the face. Have you seen it?
No, what's the face?
Oh, my God. Is it my face?
Brian?
No, it's Brian Danielson in this promo from
T-shirt.
When
T-shirt. Steve, they made a whole T-shirt out of this photo.
Because he's smart.
Whenever Brian Danielson says something a little sexy, Jeremy Lambert posts an article and it always has Brian Danielson looking at the camera like this.
All right, here.
And
what's funny
AEW,
is that you're doing a show about.
Yeah, AEW recognized it. And because of the success of Jeremy's articles, they made a T-shirt of that picture specifically. And I don't think he's got a lot of merch by design. Like, intentionally, he doesn't have a lot of merch.
So here's the photo that we now need you to recreate, Steve. Look at that.
That's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm right back from it.
Yep.
I'm glad we're having fun here.
I mean, listen, I'm sure Ross will love this.
Yeah.
Well.
He's going to love the articles that emerge from this. Although, dare I say, if you are not a TNA viewer, you are more likely to discover what's going on with TNA these days because of something like this.
Yeah.
It worked quickly. My God.
So we got Under Siege coming.
It's in Albany. I talked to Steph DeLander this week. I know it's in Albany.
Are any of you coming? Actually, Joel, are you coming to Montreal now with Slam?
I might come to.
Oh, you may come.
I might come. You know what? I had to remember it's Montreal.
He may apple his way on out there.
He may come.
Tell you what, it's Montreal. Maybe I'll come around because it's always fun when I get to. It's a look at your face live and in person.
I hope he beats you up.
With the announcement. I was hoping for Hammerstein still. I'm still waiting for that debut in New York at some point.
Still time.
It'll be nice.
Not for there, but anyway. But Under Siege is going to be in Albany, New York. Is that May the 9th, Mike?
It's next week already.
It's May the 3rd, isn't it?
Yeah.
We will have a post show here on youtube.com/FightFull.
Then we have May the 4th be with you the next day. And it's not the name of the actual show, but I'm just calling it that.
That's fine. You come out, drop it in a promo. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Dropping me re-signing with TNA in my promo, but never signing it. That's how we go full circle here.
Yes. Perfect.
It was good to get that done. And for the talks that we did have, like I said before, it's good to finally get that done. And I'm looking forward to the future with TNA because if you're not watching and you need to start watching, you should start watching, because it's the best pro wrestling show that is out there from beginning to end. No matter what you want to see, you're going to see it if you're tuning in. And that's the best thing too. Even with these fan fests now we're doing after the shows with autograph signings and these big, large groups, it's a lot of fun to just kind of get that interaction and fans and see what they're liking and what they're, the changes that they're seeing, and even taking some of the ideas that they throw, like, hey, like, what about this? What about this? Like, oh, okay. So I'm always watching and listening. So.
There you go.
Don't listen to Joel bury you. Whatever Joel says, just don't pay attention to it. Except to beat him up.
Hold on. I do have to say, on the Rebellion post show that Steven Jensen and I did, we spoke very highly of both Mike Santana and Steve Maclin and tried to piece together where both men go. We don't just blow over Steve Maclin on our shows anymore.
But I hear you bury him.
We spend our time on the conversation.
Hey, don't forget about me. Forgotten no more, huh?
That's well, can't go out any higher than that.
I could have been on Knights of the Lone Wolf, but can't get that right.
Damn.
Well, Sean, take this out now. Do it. Do the thing.
Guys, make sure you all support Steve. Check out TNA every week. Also our post show. Check out Under Siege coming up. And make sure that you eat your apples. Lots of apples.
Apple day keeps the doctor away, folks.
Yeah, or something else. Until next time, guys, we're out.